Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Whatever It Takes is the newly released autobiography by Kilkenny hurling legend Richie Hogan. Stellar career, wait for this now. 7 All-Ireland titles, 11 Leinster Championships, 5 Alliance or Alliance Hurling League medals and 4 All-Stars. And Richie is now telling his story in Whatever It Takes. It's a fascinating insight into one man's dedication and drive to be the best. Good afternoon, Richie.
Good afternoon, Ray. Great to be here.
Drive, dedication, obsession. These are all words that feature in the book a lot.
Yeah, and like, that's what's needed, really. And if I didn't have those, I wouldn't be writing a book. I wouldn't be sitting here. I would be doing something else. And they're great attributes to have. And they're certainly not not unique to me. You know, many great elite sports people have to possess those types of characteristics.
Mm. Did you see lads that you went to school with who had the same talent as you, but not the same drive?
Yeah, plenty. In Kilkenny, yeah. It's, I mean, hurling, every kid is exposed to hurling so early that they become really, really good at it. And I often use this phrase at home where, you know, I've seen loads of guys who, when they're striking the ball off the wall, you think these guys are brilliant. But, you know, getting onto the pitch and being able to go through what it takes to, you know, become the best, it just, you know, it doesn't appeal to them, or they're not able to do it, or they choose to do it separately, and that's fine too, because, you know, I'm not a professional sports person. I chose to do what I did, and because I loved it and because it's something that appealed to me, but it doesn't mean that it's for everybody.
Yeah, because you have to make loads and loads and loads of sacrifices.
Yeah, I yes and no. So, like, I often think of when people talk about the sacrifices we make, it's like saying you sacrificed your childhood because you were in Disneyland all the time. Like, right. This is like what we were doing for the 20 odd seasons that I got to play at that level was just the most incredible experience, and I never saw it as a sacrifice. I absolutely missed out on what most people would associate as important family occasions. I speak a lot about weddings that didn't even come into my head of attending when I was playing. And now reflecting on it, those occasions are far more important than, let's say, they would have been.
And there's the description of yourself and your wife Anne doing tag at one wedding. You were in the morning, you'd go off and do training, and she was doing something else, and she came for the evening bit.
Yeah,
And so you had a presence there as a couple.
Yeah, and it often happened. Like, and Anne has often gone to weddings where it was my friends who were getting married, and she's representing the household, if you like. And as a result, I think Anne has become really good friends with my friends. And that wedding is a good friend of mine, Declan. I really wanted to go, and I was able to get the church out of it. And she's a school teacher, so she finished at like 2 or 3 o'clock and got the reception out of it. So we never actually met each other at the wedding, but between the two of us, we covered the whole thing.
Hurling is in the genes. Your grandfather, what did he do? Was the grandfather on both sides played?
Yeah. Oh, look, I mean, everywhere in Kilkenny, the tradition is there. My grandfather on one side won 6 county championship medals with a famous club called Bennett's Bridge. On the other side, my grandfather won an All-Ireland minor medal for Kilkenny. Didn't play much at senior level. He joined the Merchant Navy for a time. And then my dad is the chairperson of his local GA club and played right throughout my youth as well. My uncles played, my cousins played. So, like, it's just...
And you're related to DJ Carey.
Yeah, DJ and James are my mum's first cousins. So, like, growing up in Kilkenny in the 1990s, like, how lucky were we to be exposed to such brilliant players? So heroes were never too far away.
And was the word on the street that this is DJ's cousin, you know, look out for him, that sort of thing?
It came with a little bit of
pressure.
Yeah, to be honest. And the better I got, the closer related I got. And when I played poorly, the further away I was related. That's the way it works. Yeah. Because we were both...
So Paddy, your older brother, played as well.
Paddy, my older brother, played and won 2 All-Ireland medals. Paddy was a defender, so the comparisons weren't as strong. So because myself and DJ played in the same positions, those comparisons started fairly quickly, yeah.
Mm. Have you watched yourself play? Do you watch yourself play?
Yeah, all the time, right. As part of our video analysis.
But now that you're finished up.
Oh, no.
No, not at all.
No.
Sorry. Yeah. Richie just sort of grimaced there. What? Yeah. No.
No, God.
That sounds distasteful.
Yeah, yeah. I think the embarrassment of how much I've grown outwards after retiring from hurling now would stop me from watching games.
You've grown outwards?
As in gotten heavier.
Oh, right. Sorry. I thought you were talking about it. You've changed your attitude to life.
No, I stick to just playing the game and heading home afterwards.
Yeah. So this is, you know, you've scored so much in your career, and it is just on 20 years, because 2004 you lined out for the minors, didn't you?
Yeah,
and then you
yeah.
played senior right through until 2023. But this is the goal from 2011 versus Tip. And Gerard Canning is the commentator. You've probably watched this the other time, have you?
I have seen this.
Yeah.
Tommy Welch once again, very clever use of possession, flicking it out to Michael Rice. Nothing hurried at all, everything's measured, and Colin Fennelly races forward, slips a little hand pass into a determined Eddie Brennan, off he goes, like he's running in Shelburne Park, hand pass across to Hogan, what a goal, that is quite superb, that's hurling for you, hurling of the very best, and it's a second Kilkenny goal, it's a goal for Richie Hogan.
That was spectacular. A spectacular goal. People will remember it because it was so good and it was played over and over again. What's going on in your head in that moment? Or is it completely without thinking?
I was definitely someone who, some people are all instinct, and a lot of the sport is definitely instinct, but you're thinking all of the time, where's the right position to be, what's happening, you know, where's the ball going to go? Like, obviously I've a picture in my head of what that goal looks like from listening to the commentary, but the second Eddie Brennan got the ball, he was maybe 55 yards out. I knew that there was a goal chance, and I knew that he was going for goal rather than tapping it over the bar. So you're constantly just trying to get into the right position at the right time, you know, not get there too early, and just be available to do your own job. And I was on the end of a great score. Like, it was, when someone says it was a brilliant goal, I'll always agree and say that it was a brilliant team goal.
Yeah.
Like, and it was just such a fantastic team
goal. He hand passed it to you, you tipped it up and then volleyed it in to the top right hand corner.
Yeah. it looked really good, but in reality, it was just, that was what was available at the time. You back off and you touch and you strike it.
Yeah.
It was a brilliant feeling when it went in.
So, seven All-Ireland titles. Was Brian Cody in charge for all of those seven?
For the seven wins.
Yes,
I played for 17 seasons, 16 under Brian and one under Derek Ling. And
right.
Derek was also selector for maybe five seasons during my time as well.
How would you describe your relationship with Brian Cody?
How would any of us describe it? Brian is an icon in Kilkenny, and I'm sure you've spoken to him at some point.
No, I've never spoken to him.
Oh,
no.
Right, you should have him in. But when you're speaking to icons like that, it can be quite intimidating.
He's a tall man.
Yeah, hell of a lot taller than I am.
Yeah.
And he's just such a fantastic presence. And a really deep, commanding voice. And he was the ultimate, I think he was the ultimate motivator, for sure. And for me, over 17 seasons, I had plenty of brilliant memories, plenty of times when Brian got the best out of me, and then plenty of times when I was on the receiving end.
Yes. You describe in the book a time that you're a sub, and you're trying to motivate them at half time. It's been a very poor first half. So you're standing up and he enters into the dressing room and he tells you to shut the F up and sit the F down.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, when I was writing the book, I wasn't going to hold back in terms of, and there's no criticism in there, by the way, but like what I think that story gets across is we were the highest, we were high achievers, right? And this is a high performance environment. And very often people think that you're going around high-fiving each other and you're all friends, but it's not. It's an incredibly intense environment. And very often if you said what we said in the dressing room, if you said that in the workplace, you'd never set foot in the workplace again. But that's the way our dressing room was.
Is that okay then? Is that okay?
For us, we all but we all buy into it.
And so it's robust.
Yeah, and it's you're really just trying to drive a performance, because winning, especially that day, because it was a knockout championship game, winning and getting over the line, you'll do whatever you can do within the rules to try and get over the line. And that's what dressing rooms are like. Not just inter-county dressing rooms, but club dressing rooms are like that too. Yeah.
And then training, that incident with you and TJ, I'm sure you've been asked about it. So he gave you a scalp, as they'd call it, euphemistically, down the country across the face.
Myself and Jackie, yeah.
Not TJ, sorry.
No, TJ has never given out too many scalps. To be fair to him, he's very clean player. Yeah. Our training,
Jackie Tyrrell, sorry.
Yes, our training sessions were ferocious. Far harder than any game I've ever played in. And the intensity of them and the way they were played, it was very much completely different to the way the game is now. Every ball was contested and contested ferociously, and there is no whistle. There literally was no whistle. Not that it wasn't blown, but I've never actually seen a whistle in training. And our training sessions are infamous for that. But being a pretty good scoring forward, you come in for plenty of treatment from your own. So,
but they're not competing with you for a position on the team because they're defenders.
No, but it actually doesn't
make sense to me. Well, I suppose they have to show how good they are against the best.
Exactly. Yeah. If they get clipped for a goal and a few points,
they're
not long about somebody making their way in. But there was definitely a case of we put ourselves through more in training so that when it came to game time, it was much easier. And Jackie himself was a ferocious trainer, but a very disciplined defender. I don't think he's ever been sent off, for example, nor can I remember any wild strokes in games. But training was a different story.
He got it out of the system in training.
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm just wondering about, because Liveline were talking about Kyle Hayes today, as an inter-county footballer at the highest level, did you feel you were a role model? Did you feel responsibility to behave off the pitch in a certain way?
Yes, I absolutely did. I was a teacher when I first started playing inter-county hurling, and you learn very quickly the influence that you have as a player on younger people. So my classroom, every time I came in the week of an All-Ireland or a big game or the week beforehand, their parents knew what was going on. They were very influenced by everything that I did. And every single player has that influence on young people. We're absolutely privileged in terms of the position that we have. And absolutely, we have to conduct ourselves above what the normal person might be deemed reasonable to conduct themselves off the pitch. I think that's only fair.
So if you were on the selection committee for the All-Stars, would you have selected Kyle Hayes?
Believe it or not, Ray, I was on GA Go this year and I selected my team of the year, and Kyle wasn't on it just because I favoured a Kilkenny guy, David Blanchfield, instead. But no, from that point of view, I think in reality, if you're not selecting the best player in the position, if you're excluding a handful, it probably devalues the actual team.
But it's not a matter of opinion, isn't it? It's not, there's no scientific metrics.
No, there's not. And I think sometimes we confuse the All-Stars. Really, this is the team of the year and these are the best players. This is a very unusual situation as well. It doesn't often happen that somebody is convicted of an offence and then literally in the same year wins an All-Star. There was rules in place previously where you weren't allowed win an All-Star if you were sent off, and they were overturned maybe somewhere in the 90s. But
does it raise questions for the GAA as an organisation, this, do you think?
I don't think so. Okay. First of all, I think it's the journalists' scheme. I think that would be unfair.
Injuries. Now, would you say you're injury prone?
Give us a list. Oh, well, there's some that I don't even count. But I'll start from the bottom and work my way up. I've had two ankle surgeries. I've had multiple knee ligament damage. I've broken my ribs. I've punctured my lung. I've broken my arm. I've broken my hand. I've lost the top of my finger. I've had multiple concussions. And I've had quite serious back injury for the last kind of couple of seasons. And that's not including the, let's say, the muscle injuries like the hamstrings and the quads and the calves.
Will this be with you for life?
No. Well, my finger's not going to come back anytime soon.
I know. But your back, for example. You say in the book, you say you could play a match without a hurl, sort of tongue-in-cheek, but you couldn't play it without your Vimovo, which is an anti-inflammatory drug.
Yeah. And that was definitely true at the time. I would not be able to play inter-county hurling right now. Even at club level, which I played this season, I wasn't able to get through it without getting injured. So to play at elite level sport would be impossible for me now.
You're 36.
I'm 36, yeah.
Just on the age thing, because you were born on the 8th of the 8th, 1988.
Yes.
And you weighed 8 pounds and 8 ounces.
Yeah.
Is there some old wives' tale or something about that? Is it similar to the seventh son of the seventh son or something?
Possibly. I'm told I can make a lot of money in China if I ever go, because it's a lucky number over there.
Just because we're running out of time. I'm intrigued about, because we hear an awful lot about the commitment, and we started talking at the beginning about the commitment, but everything is second place, you know, your family, your relationship. And do people, like Anne, like she's been with you for years, and she accepted that this is the case.
Yeah, and it's not that there was ever a conversation about it. Now, she hasn't done too bad either. You know, we've had plenty of free holidays. Fantastic occasions. I think sometimes, your loved ones, your friends, your family probably sacrifice a little more than we do, because we get all of the enjoyment out of it. You know, we're making a choice to do
this. So you're making all of those sacrifices, and you are in everything but name and bank balance, professional.
Yeah, possibly.
They're talking recently about managers being paid. Is it ever? It'll never happen, will it? Or
no, financially, it's just that.
Just not, because there's 64 teams with squads of what, 35 or whatever. It just doesn't make sense, does it?
No, and some of those teams are not really at a high performance level.
Is there any way, like I know you get your annual holiday to Cancun or wherever, but is there any way of rewarding people, say, who get to the semi-finals and the final? Is that financially?
Well, sure, I'm sure there is. It never bothered me in the slightest. No, I wouldn't have thought about it much. I would have loved the opportunity to be full time. But the financial side of it is not really. So I would have loved to have not have to work, because
that has financial implications, obviously.
Of course, yeah. I was working because
you
I
work for
to
PwC.
Survive.
You know that, yeah.
Yeah, but it's more about being able to play an All Ireland final on a Sunday and have to get up the following day and work on your recovery, not have to get up the following day and get a train into town to do a full day's work, which we have to do. It's more about that than the financial side of being professional.
It's a fascinating read. And if you want to get inside the head of an inter-county player who played at the highest level, and if you want to get inside the dressing room, the Kilkenny dressing room with Brian Cody in charge, this is a great read, whatever it takes. Richie Hogan, thanks so much, Richie. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Ray.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.